Hello and welcome to your advanced hypnosis session. You'll get the best results from your download by giving it your full attention. Please do not listen to it when you need to maintain concentration, such as when driving.
Hello and welcome to Impulse Control. To relax fully to this session, please make sure you're seated in a comfortable chair or lying down somewhere you won't be interrupted for a while. Before you begin to relax nice and deeply, I'm just going to say a few words about getting control over your impulses to live a more fulfilling life. The more you let impulse rule you, the more difficult and complicated life will become. Impulses can make you greedy, insensitive, and thoughtless. They can make you say things you regret, go for short-term advantage, and ignore bigger long-term losses. They can wreck your life and other people's. Good impulse control means you won't get led into situations or habits which are against your own true best interests. There are enough 40-year-old children around already. To really develop to our full potential, we all need to gain effective impulse control and stop being thoughtless. And I say thoughtless quite deliberately, because emotions drive impulses, and the more emotional we become, the more the thinking brain shuts down. Developing the ability to delay gratification and to be able to control impulses whenever succumbing to them would be disastrous enables you to mature as a human being and have a more productive and happier life. All kinds of catastrophic results have followed from action originally undertaken because it seemed like a good idea at the time. There's often a little voice at the back of your mind telling you that perhaps it's not such a great idea to binge on that cream cake, to pursue that married person, to swear at the boss, or whatever. But the emotional impulse swamps your ability to think straight. This is why people who are not so emotionally involved in the situation often feel like telling you, "I told you so," when your impulsive behaviour has led to trouble. Hopefully they can control that impulse. Every living thing has certain basic needs, and we're all born with resources to meet these needs, whether they're for food, sex, rest, or drink. And the top front part of your brain, the prefrontal lobes, is responsible for impulse control and the ability to foresee likely consequences of immediate actions. This part of the brain isn't fully developed until around the age of 20, which partly explains why teenagers are often so impulsive, with little thought for consequences. Your prefrontal lobes are like the commander of an army or a conductor of an orchestra. They prevent chaos in your actions and life. The brain evolved primarily to control movement, and more complex creatures have more complex brains. An emotion is a behavioural impulse, a signal for some kind of movement or action that's sent out by a part of the brain called the limbic system, also known as the emotional brain, in response to a particular situation. Emotions get stronger as they are processed in the brain, creating an urge to do something. So emotions can be understood as a set of expectations we have about how to respond to our environment. So for example, in addictive behaviour, a strong pattern locks the emotional brain into expecting something good. And this pushes the individual into action. This happens even when their thinking brain, if it could get a look in, would tell them to avoid that action. All the addict thinks about is the substance itself. They forget in that impulsive moment the consequences of afterwards. Impulse control is really self-mastery. If you are always at the whim of emotionally charged impulses that barge ahead without consulting your thinking brain, then you're like a ship in a storm with no one at the helm and no captain to give orders or take control of the situation. A thinking brain, the neocortex, is what marks humans out from other animals. If we don't use our neocortex as a guide to our decision-making processes at least some of the time, then we're not using the tools nature's given us. We are not meant to be just impulse-driven creatures, and this session will help you find it much easier to control your impulses. So what I'd like you to do now is just allow your eyes to gently close. And you can begin to prepare to relax deeply. Because, you know, relaxing deeply is the most natural thing in the world. It's something we all do, all of the time, without even thinking about it. When you naturally drift off to sleep each night, or perhaps if you listen to music, or enjoy a wonderful, restful massage, because your body, whether you know it consciously or not, naturally knows how to rest easily, to give you some time out to rejuvenate and mend, some time out to give that body a breather. But I don't need you to relax more deeply, any more quickly than you want to. You don't have to relax any more quickly than feels natural for you. So you can choose to relax deeply now, or in a few moments or minutes, because everyone has their own way they prefer to relax, a way that's good for them. And some people like to relax very deeply, straight away, while others like to really take their time, anticipating those restful feelings slowly building, becoming a little curious about how it will feel to allow everything to slow down, savoring every moment, doing it your own way, at your own pace, while those eyes rest easily, like curtains gently drawn across the mind. Just like you draw curtains before you go to sleep. The things you do when you prepare to rest comfortably. When you settle into bed, get nice and comfortable. Gentle weight keeping you warm. Comfortable pillow. That's it. There's a wonderful, calm, restful sensation. Begins to travel right through the body. As you move into that moment just before sleep, that delicious moment, still aware, but almost dreaming. That's good. And as your rest deepens further in that dreamlike moment, I'd like you to get a sense of a very relaxing place. Maybe a place you've been to. Perhaps a place you've seen. Maybe even a fantastic place you'd like to visit in your dreams. Because in that restful, dreamy state, it's so easy to imagine visiting such a relaxing place. You just need to take a look inside to find it. And when you've got a real sense of that, you can float right into that dream and find yourself there, leaving that body to rest in bed, allowing your mind to find a place to rest as well. A calm, comfortable place. Taking a few moments to drift into that place now. That's it. And you can relax a little more deeply as you allow yourself to become aware of just what is so restful about this place. That's good. And as you rest deeper now, you can listen closely, as you like, to the story of the frog and the bird. Now the frog and the bird grew up together in a forest, and though they were very different from each other, they were the best of friends. The bird was very thoughtful and took time to consider things before doing anything. The frog, on the other hand, was very impulsive and liked to talk all the time, often engaging his mouth before engaging his brain. And sometimes the bird would get a little fed up, tired of the silly things the frog would say and do. So he would fly up high into the trees for a break, to get a rest from it all. Underneath it all, he knew the frog was a good frog, very good-hearted, just a little too impulsive. And then one day, as he sat high in the trees, he heard the frog cry out. And looking down from his lofty perch, he saw the forest was on fire, and immediately flew down to the frog. "Hold on to my leg with your mouth, and I'll fly us both away from the flames," said the bird. "But whatever you do, hold on tight and don't say anything." The frightened little frog nodded enthusiastically and grabbed hold of his friend's leg with his mouth. And with a great effort, the bird flapped its wings and carried them above the fire, higher and higher. And the frog, in his relief, just couldn't help himself. The overwhelming urge, that impulse to speak. "Phew, that was close," he said, as he dropped back down into the flames. And so, as you contemplate the fate of the over-impulsive frog, you can start to think about your brain as a group, a team. And every group has to have a leader, guiding the brain, making decisions, reining in the unruly emotional part of the group, effectively leading those parts that supply physical strength and powerful motivation. And as you get a sense of that leader, even seeing them in your mind's eye, noticing what it is about them that lets you know that leader is taking control. You can just notice in your imagination that front part of your brain lighting up, letting you know that you can take back control easily and naturally, calmly allowing that to sink into the deepest depths of your unconscious mind and take root at the core of your being. That's it. And as that calm state of repose intensifies even more, I'd like you just to get a sense of those times when you might have acted impulsively before. Those typical impulsive times where that tends to happen. Perhaps noticing who you might be with, where you might be. Those old familiar situations. That's it. And as you closely watch one of those old situations from the outside, watching that you in that time, just noticing just before the point where that impulsive choice swamped you. And then what I'd like you to do is just freeze frame that situation and drift right into that you in that time, taking that calmness and relaxation with you, calming down the you in that situation, so you're able to allow the leading part of your brain to take over. Just notice how good it feels as you become calm and clear, as that thinking part takes that decision correctly, as you choose to be more self-controlled. Just notice how natural and easy that can feel, as if you've always done it this way. That's good, and you can watch any number of other impulsive times that have been a problem. Watching yourself in that scene right up to that old impulse point, and freeze framing and floating into that you in that time, allowing the calm, restful feelings to build as the thinking part of your brain takes over. And again, just practice that leader in you continually taking control, making calm, long-term decisions, thinking them through time after time. That's it. And you can do that with another situation right now. That's good. Now, what I'd like you to do is imagine drifting into the future now. First days, then weeks. And starting to notice the differences as you take control of those short-term impulses. That's it. Notice how different you feel now that you know you're self-controlled in that way. And in the months and years ahead, you can notice the long-term benefits beginning to accrue and the absence of any short-term problems caused by impulsive decisions. And the wonderful self-confidence that comes from knowing you're someone who makes good decisions. Because, of course, It's only when you can align your decisions with your long-term goals that you truly begin to move towards what you really want from life. That's good. But for now, what you can do is begin to drift back to the here and now, knowing that every time you listen to this, you can work on another of those old impulse control problems. Each time calmly taking control, trusting your unconscious mind to take all this new learning on board. As you start to come back to the room, becoming more aware of the room around you, more aware of any sounds there might be, more aware of the position of your body, your arms, your legs, perhaps having a stretch and then just opening those eyes, nice and calm and relaxed. Good. Now remember, the more you relax to this download, the more benefits you're going to notice. Thank you very much for listening, and the best of luck to you.